Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Believe in K-pop. This is your host, Anthea Isaac. And well, I know you are super excited with the title and the description. Yes, we have the K3 back. Yeah!
Yay!
Hello!
Hello! Like, well, if you guys are new here and you didn't know who the K3 are, well, they are a duo who have been discussing about K-drama for a very long time. They have a solid YouTube channel where they come live every Sunday mornings, PST, and it's Sunday nights for IST. So they talk about all current ongoing dramas. They discuss about the character depth, the actor, their acting, and what to do, what not to do, and have such a fun time along with fans reading all your live comments and commenting on them as well. So we already met for an episode and we had discussions about our favorite dramas, actors, and a lot of squealing. And now I brought them back to just talk about one of our very favorite topics for the century or forever. That is Flower of Evil. Yay!
Yeah.
The greatest drama ever.
So welcome, Jennifer and Marissa. Thank you so much for joining again.
Well, thank you for having us back. Because the K3 is Jen and Marissa and you. Yes. So today the K3 is you, Anthea.
Yeah. I remember. Yes. So it's just going to be me taking over your place and talking to the hosts. So first of all, how are you guys doing? And I saw that you got back to live sessions. You meet each other every Sunday and host some amazing lives. How is it all going and how are you feeling?
I think it's going great. It's so good to actually be in the same place as Marissa again, which is funny, like as we are sitting in two different spaces now, but it's so nice to just hang out and, you know, be in the, I mean, sometimes the California sun's a little too warm, but to be out there in the backyard and drinking a beverage and talking K-dramas with Marissa, it's the best. I love it.
That's right. It's so much fun to connect with everybody and share thoughts and quibbles because you know, it's like a K-drama isn't finished until we've discussed it, you know, because it brings up so many emotions and thoughts and we just have to work them out together.
Yeah. Wow. So what are the latest dramas? I know a few, but I haven't started watching anything yet. But what are the current dramas that you are super hyped about discussing every week? And what are your fans hyped about?
To be honest, we're all kind of in a slump.
Yeah, it's a bit of a K-drama drought. But I am enjoying Hospital Playlist 2. Mm-hmm. And I'm enjoying Racket Boys. They both have kind of a similar vibe, like a big ensemble cast and just stories that make you feel good. Yeah. Like people overcoming difficult situations, but kind of remembering and reinforcing the humanity in all of us. So it's really it's a heartwarming drama. Both of those are. And then Nevertheless is one that has brought up a lot of feelings about how you should or should not behave in a relationship or who you should or should not be attracted to. That's been kind of really interesting to discuss. So, yeah.
Yeah. Nevertheless is taking over the world. I don't know whether it's positive or negative, but it is. I haven't watched it, you know, like just snippets is killing me. So yeah, you just right there, let me come to you. Just give me time.
Yeah, that one's been really popular. I did not watch that one. It was a little too real.
Yeah, Yes, for sure.
It's too real. That's what you meant.
Like my, not to get too personal, my dating history is just a train wreck of a saga, and so I didn't need to watch. I didn't need to watch it as a drama. And none of them turned around.
Oh no. It's okay. They're lost.
Oh yeah. For sure.
Okay. So Nevertheless is also by a female director, which actually had high hopes and high expectations. So I think the too much of reality is because it is done by her.
Yeah.
Can we probably pride in that?
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And I think the thing with Nevertheless is that if you identify so much with the female lead, then it's really hard to understand certain decisions she's making. And so
I understand them completely, Marisa. Totally understand every single one of them.
So it's too much for some people. They're like, I see a lot of comments about how they hate her character, and it's like, and that's why it's like juicy, and I'm really enjoying it. I'm like, oh, 21-year-old me, hey. The things I could tell her now.
Well, I think we also have a K-pop idol in the cast. I think many don't talk about him. It's N-Flying. N-Flying leader. He's my favorite member from N-Flying. So when I saw the pictures, I was like, he's here and nobody's talking about him. I don't know. He has his own plot, I guess.
Who's he playing?
Is he Potato Boy?
Not the real important. He's there since the first, like Jo Hyuk.
Oh, I think he's got a different kind of relationship. He's if I'm thinking of the right, wait, what's his name?
His actual name?
His real name. I see. Lee Sung Hyub?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so he's in a relationship in this one. So yeah, I'm pretty sure that's him.
Okay. So yeah, coming back to our podcast, where did we leave? Okay, let's go. Okay. So it's 1 year with Flower of Evil. Have you been guys feeling like I think it's July 29th, or am I?
It's the date. It just says July.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
How do you guys feel about it?
It's still one of the top shows ever.
Oh. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. When we knew we were going to be doing this, we both decided that we were going to rewatch some of it, right? And I started with episode one, because you got to watch episode one, right? Just kind of get the feel. I wanted to watch the whole thing again so bad after watching episode one, and I just didn't have time. It's still such, even knowing what all the beats were, it still is such an amazing drama. It's so well done.
Yeah. The same terms. that is actually the best part of all dramas, you know, like when it actually lets you rewatch it and it still gives you that feel, you know that it actually has that weightage. So I really got emotional personally, and when I really thought that it's been a year, I started, you know, like before, you know, like rewatching all the episodes, I just went to the clip where, you know, like they all clicked photos of the behind the scenes, them interacting, them saying thank you and we are leaving and all that. It's been almost more 1 year and I'm like, don't go. We need more.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I should go back and watch the behind the scenes. I don't think I watched much of the behind the scenes during while it was actually happening.
It's because you have to feel the feel. You have to stay in the concept.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I understand. So we literally spoke about why, you know, like, it is special. So can you guys state some of the reasons on why do you think that this particular drama is much celebrated and stays so special from the other dramas? Because in our previous episode, I remember you guys mentioning that 2020 was such a good year for dramas, and it brought out some amazing dramas, and we had a lot of them as well, and we had the time to, you know, like, follow most of them. But still, Flower of Evil has that mark, and why would you say that?
I think at its core, it's the relationship between the husband and wife, Lee Jun-gi and Moon Chae-won. I mean, it starts with them and it ends with them as family. And that, so while we were watching the first time, definitely we were wrapped up in the mystery of it, in the serial killer of it, in the crime aspects of it. And those were so heightened and intense, but rewatching some of it again, it's really the couple, what they go through, what the writer and director allow us to see in their relationship. And then it's just the phenomenal performances by Moon Chae-won and Lee Jun-gi. It's just, shut the door.
They were I would yes and that 1,000 times. Like, that is just, I mean, especially even in rewatching it, I think it's just such an amazing performance from both of them that you just are allowed in on this, what you think is a facade of a relationship, even to the lead actor, like even to the lead character. So even to Doo Hyun, so he believes it's a fake relationship. Like, he's just playing the role to keep his identity. But then it's the growth of this whole thing throughout the 16 episodes that by the time you get to that finale and that ending, and like, it's real, it's, oh God, okay.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, Moon Chae-won, like Detective Cha, her emotions and reactions are honest.
Yeah.
But then you've got, you know, Baek Hee-sun, you know, Lee Jun-gi's character, and he's got to play all these multiple layers of what is the psychology of overcoming his non-emotion.
Yeah.
I can't even remember the term that they used for it, but that this layer, and then the, you know, his interactions, but then he's lying about it all. It's just like, it's so layered and multifaceted, and it's all like right there. You can see it in his eyes.
Yeah.
And
my favorite scene that I thought that kind of was the best example of that was in the kitchen when she basically tells him she doesn't like him anymore. And he just, it's like a computer is just, he couldn't compute what she was saying or how to make it right or how to fix it. Cause he had played those beats so well for so long that the way the script and the way the story was told is that he was happy. I don't think he recognized that that's what it was. And so when she was unhappy, he was unhappy, and he just could not. And you could just see that, just the lack of process. It's just so, God, it's such a great scene. It's such a great scene.
Exactly. And speaking of Cha's honest emotions, when kind of she resents him, when she finds that he is the culprit or he has been faking it, I, as a viewer, was like, come on, he has a very, you know, like, sad story, and that's why he had to pretend. And why can't you be just nice to him? No, like, he's so... he's like a baby, you know. Don't hurt his feelings. Or, you know, like when she took him to the to his house, and she was, you know, like, do you know these are the tools he used? Do you know this is don't torture him?
It was so amazing. Oh my God, that scene was so good.
And it took me some time to actually understand it. Like, being in her position, it is true. Like, you know, like, you being a viewer, knowing both the sides of the story, you say, oh, he's innocent. But, you know, like, just being her, you definitely resent anybody, you know, like, you have been faking. And it's really hard to, you know, like, digest the fact that someone you trusted for all these years
have
been faking it all. So,
well, not only was he faking it, but he was theoretically, in her mind, she's a police officer. So theoretically, in her mind, he's a murderer. So she and possibly a serial killer. So this poor woman is a cop who married, got pregnant, had a child with a serial killer.
K-drama.
Right?
Like, and could you get any juicier?
Yeah. And so I can put Detective Chow, like, I was like, I feel you.
And, you know, like, when I was trying to rewatch, I stumbled upon this scene where, you know, like, the second lead and, you know, like, he kind of has him in the garage, like, hidden. And when he comes, in the basement. And they finally decide, you know, like, you can go out and do the stuff that you want to be done so that he doesn't get the blame or something. And she kind of enters and she finds both of them hurt because they actually had a fight in the basement. And she says, you can't even hurt anybody. Don't say that. And she turns towards him and says, you're under arrest for assaulting a person and all that. Do you remember that scene?
I don't remember one specifically, but I watched episode 1 and 2 and I was like laughing because it was one of those things where, like, how did these two go from this to, like, BFFs by the finale? Like, I was like, I just need to watch it just to kind of see how I forgot how that progression went. Cause I'm like, you locked him in your basement and didn't feed him for 2 days.
Wow. And now, you know, like, he's coaching you on how to get through your trial.
Exactly. And now you've stuffed his fridge full of egg tarts.
Oh, yeah. I love that. And I want to be your brother-in-law. It's
like, right?
To be honest, I hated him in the previous episodes where he was trying to, you know, like, dig a hole for Lee Joon-gi, and I'm like, whoever comes against him, I'm gonna sue you all. I don't even care if you're the main female lead or his own daughter. No, nobody touches him.
Well, that's the thing with this show. Like, every character is so complex, and there are moments where you're like, what are you doing? How can you do that? How can you be like that to somebody else? And then there are moments where you're cheering them on. And so it's just this ride through, like, 16 episodes of just, you know, figuring them out. It's just,
That is a very good point. Yeah, like, you kind of find that everybody is selfish in their own way, but when you dissect it, the main characters have been compromising themselves for the other, but it kind of looked, the best example would be Lee Joon-gi's sister. She's kind of portrayed as if she killed and she ran away, and she has just abandoned her brother and made him live a very horrible life with that kind of accusation.
Right.
And she's kind of living the best life. But only when we get to see her, you can see the guilt in her and the pain. And she has been searching for her brother so long. And
Her character was heartbreaking.
Right?
Just heartbreaking. Oh my God. And so beautiful and just,
Yeah.
And the fact that she killed him is because he was talking ill about her little brother. And that's why she got angry. And
he was killed. Village chief was torturing her brother.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason she killed him, though, is because he sexually assaulted her.
Yeah.
So she killed him in self-defense. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. That too. As well.
Yeah. She went there to talk to him to tell him, knock it off. Keep bothering my little brother. And then the village.
Yeah.
Chief.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bad guy.
Oh, dark.
Go to hell.
Yeah.
Wow. So, yeah, that was my second topic, things you love. And we are already all immersed in talking about this. And speaking of characters, I know that we three, of course, we love Lee Joon-gi and Moonsha.
Yes.
It's Paka, like, lead. But But if you get to choose,
I will die on this hill. I think Lee Jung-gi should have gotten the best thing.
Oh,
for best actor. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I loved Beyond Evil. And Shin Ha Kyung. Yes. He's an amazing actor, but I feel like he plays that role in almost every role I see him in. It's the same. This was such a different role for Lee Jung-gi. And I think it was a career defining role in my personal
opinion. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They haven't announced, he hasn't signed up for anything yet, right? For
another project. Yeah, it's been a year.
Yeah. I mean, you got to make a really good choice after Flower of Evil. I have to believe that doing a Flower of Evil performance changes you as an actor to where you want to do something that is as fulfilling as stretching yourself on that. Like, I read a lot of like his interviews and stuff about how he prepped for this role and how this was one of the first times, because you've seen his behind the scenes stuff. The boy is a character. He is like a cartoon character, man. Like, I think he's got more energy. Like, I think he's a lot. Like, listen, I think he's a fantastic actor and I enjoy him a lot, but I feel like there's a lot of that, you know, being on stage and having to always entertain, where in the role of Baek Hee-sung and Hyun-soo, he was so like condensed that he was saying that he wouldn't even watch what he was doing because he just wanted to focus on the performance. Where in other roles, he would always watch the playback to make sure that it was, you know, hitting all the right things. And so I feel like for him moving forward, he's going to have to find another one that intrigues him as much. In my personal opinion, I think that's why he's waited so long.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was a challenging role and he slayed it. So, but I think also working with this director, whose name is, Kim Chul-kyu.
Yeah.
Who did Chicago Typewriter and did On the Way to the Airport.
Like, I love it. Love that one.
You weren't getting a procedural. You were going to get a very deep, complex, nuanced relationship between people. So, you know, to work with a director like that, I'm sure was just like not only amazing, but what he brought out, because what did Lee Jung-gi do before this? Was it Lawless Lawyer?
Yeah. I mean, Lawless Lawyer was fun, right? I mean, it was
it was
quip, 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 ass kicking, quip, 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 a little crying, some romance, quip, ass kicking scene. Like that was literally Lawless Lawyer, right?
Yeah. I haven't watched it yet, but you know, like he looks really different in that. You know, like in Lawless Lawyer, he's like this sharp, even his face is sharp. But with Flower of Evil, his face gestures, you know, like he has a little cheek. So, you know, like it kind of gives him the look like he's a pleasant married man and nothing else. So that kind of a look. So he has also worked in his physique.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so sorry. Yeah. You guys, everything froze for me. What did you guys just say?
We were talking about how Lee Jung-gi has also worked on his physique to fit the character.
Yeah.
Because comparing Lawless Lawyer and Flower of Evil, exactly. That's what I was talking. Like, in Lawless Lawyer, it was so sharp because, as you mentioned, it was like the classy kicking ass character. So it had some sharp, you know, like, oh, I'm a gangster.
Yeah.
Come. With Flower of Evil, he's like this pleasant,
right,
elegant married man and nothing else,
right? Like a stay-at-home dad practically, right? I think he's looking for another. That's my personal opinion. I could be completely wrong, but he talks so highly of his experience on Flower of Evil.
I remember the umpty number of lives he came and the umpty number of thank yous he gave to the fans. And I was
That's what I'm saying. Like, this is a man who will spend 2 hours live on his Instagram live with his fans. So, I mean, yeah.
He's a giver.
He's a giver, right? And so this character was really, this is an acting moment for him, because it's just so opposite of who he is in real life.
Yeah. And I remember watching some of the behind scenes. Like, I don't know, you guys gave me a different perspective, but when I watched some of the behind scenes, he was literally playing. Like, he was having fun. He was seeing the camera and he was doing and all that. And when the slate claps, he turns into the character. Because personally, I know just two types, where the one is just being in the character and you don't even interact with the other characters because you don't want that character to let go. And I remember with the little dramas we did, if that particular person is our daughter, I just start calling her daughter, because when I get on the stage, I should feel as if she is my daughter, even if she's a senior to me. So that's how you do it. But with Legion Gate, was I felt that it was because of the years he has spent in the industry. He knows when to click that switch. He's like Legion Gate, saying hi to the camera person and doing all fun stuff, and then turn.
Yeah,
and that's really cool.
I mean, it's also just different styles of acting. Like, some actors need that method where they have to be the character at all times, otherwise they can't focus. And then there's other actors, like, I've heard it a bunch of times, like, about Jodie Foster, where she can be like, hey, great, blah, blah, blah. Like, I think on Nell they were talking about, I don't know why Nell was the one I just came up with. But, like, she would go from being super friendly with the cast and then go and do, like, this super emotional scene in Nell. And like, some actors can do that. Some actors can just be like, give me a minute, like, take a beat, get into character and go. And others need to live there. Otherwise, they get distracted. And Lee Jung-gi definitely strikes me as the...
Yeah.
Hey, guys, have a good time. Hold, please. Death, you know.
Yeah, with 18 again, I saw some of the behind the scenes because it's Lee Do-hyun. But, you know, like, you can see other characters having fun time. They'll be chatting because they're all children and they're school-going people. But he is like the 18-year-old with the 40-year-old soul. So he had to be that mature, and he has a lot of emotions. So in most of the scenes, I see the cast having a circle for themselves, and he will be there alone, like, going through the script, or like, he doesn't interact much, so he doesn't get that 18 vibes because he has to stay the 40, because two of his own children are there in the gang, so he
Lee Do-hyun is like, he's like, what, 22?
Yeah.
In real life, right? Like, I mean,
20. He's older to me. Yeah. He must be 25 or 26.
Oh, 26. Okay. So, I mean, 26, but he's still 26. He's doing a lot of heavy lifting trying to emotionally play a married father, you know, a 40. And so I think that's, I mean, I can understand why as an actor, he was like, I can't play, because that'll be, my performance is going to be completely jacked. So, yeah.
Wow. That was something really nice.
Right?
Love you, Lee Do-hyun. Right? So, yeah, speaking of favorite characters, if you could skip Lee Jung-gi and Moonsha, who would be your favorite pick as characters, not as actors, but
characters.
Maybe as actors and characters. I don't know. Maybe you can pick two as an actor and a character.
I will just go with Baeguna. Like, the little girl, I adored her. She didn't do a ton of heavy lift. Oh, and then there's also Choi Dae-hoon, who I adore. He was the police chief, like the team leader. They didn't give him a lot to do, but we saw him in so many things that I just love him so much.
I also really liked her sunbae, Choi Jae-sub. Detective. He's so salty. Yeah. Like, he's with her, he's not with her, he suspects her, he suspects the husband, like, and then, but then he, like, you know, gives them the key to, like, fix changing the trial. He's just, like, you know, he's like a cop, you know?
Right?
But wow. we got to talk about Kim Ji-yoon as the real Baek-hee-sung, right?
Exactly, like, I was totally upset that you didn't bring him up, like, I have a fan club for him, like, real Baek-hee-sung. it's like a fantasy fan club, not real.
I mean I'm just glad they finally changed his picture on my drama list, because for a while there they had like a 20-year-old like headshot of him, but now they've given him his slicked back hair from Flower of Evil. He's got amazing hair. Yeah. Like, it's His hair is a character unto itself. He does need to cut it though. Like, he has gotten to the point where it's gotten a little out of control. But in Flower of Evil, it was perfect.
Well, what's it called? Money Heist? He's in a Money Heist. Yeah. So, oh, can't wait for that.
Now?
They're filming now, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, but like, no, it like, will he have the same hair, or will he cut? Like, I don't actually prefer long hair.
Oh.
Personal choices, but the character was really good, amazing. I love it. I love you. You love me. But you know, like, if it's a new drama with short hair.
Okay.
You got Anthea's heart.
Oh, I think his long hair makes his whole facade, his whole thing. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Like, he actually did a drama with the sister, actually, as a villain.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they both already had an assignment together. They are supposed to be married couple, but they don't love each other. So the sister is actually the hero, the main female lead of the drama, and he's supposed to be the villain. And there we have a main male lead.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Oh, that's so cool that adds this whole other layer of watching them in Flower of Evil. That's really cool. I really like that. Yeah.
And they also did one together as well. Him and the sister did, it was Scholar That Walks at Night or whatever that one was.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who, like, Ji-hoon and the sister?
Yeah, Lee Jun-gi and the sister. Hee-jin. They played. They weren't love interest, but she was like his like helper or something in that one.
Oh, okay. And then we never watched Criminal Minds with Lee Jun-gi and Moon Chae-won.
I tried. It was really bad. It was so bad. Dull. But again, he was like all angsty and like actiony and then quippy. It was like just an angrier version of Lawless Lawyer.
I like angry Lee Jun-gi.
I mean, listen, so do I, but after seeing Flower of Evil, I'm just not sure that I can go back to
that. Yeah. No, like, exactly. After watching all the chemistry between these two, mm-hmm. you just watch them stand like in each corner, like, aren't you guys going to do something?
Yeah, no? It's
boring.
I mean, and I will say this. I don't know how you feel, Marisa, because I know we just watched it. And I know Anthea did not get a chance to watch it. But I still say that finale stands alone as one of the best finales I've ever watched.
Oh,
Flower
yeah.
of Evil?
Oh, yeah.
Criminal.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
no, Flower of Evil. Flower of Evil's finale.
I did watch it.
Yes. Did you watch the finale? I mean, I meant recently. Like, Reese and I just watched it last night.
Oh. Because in our video of us talking about Flower of Evil, I added that scene in the end as the ending part.
I just think that final hour and a half where they take the trope of amnesia and kind of turn it on its head was perfect to me, even watching it again.
Mm-hmm. And I was kind of confused why the amnesia has to happen, like, after all they have been. But it just made us, you know, like, made me realize, like, it had to happen so mm-hmm. that the real person comes mm-hmm. out. Like, yeah. he has been pretending all this yeah. time. And mm-hmm. even they have been all through this, he's still going to be that ideal person, and he knows how he has been acting and all that. So now it's like demolishing all those fake stuff. And now he's like the actual person, but still in love with her. And
yes. Yes. That was so, yes. That was so good.
Wow. So Marisa, you wanted to add a point. What was that?
I was just going to say, like, you know, so often that amnesia trope, it's to force other characters to do certain things or to act on certain things. But this one was, like you said, to get to the real heart of who he is and for him to accept that and to moving forward, live as his true self, and for them to rebuild the relationship together. But it's also, you know, like, his head has been, he's been living inside his head for like so long. And the end, it was about, you can tell yourself to be a certain way or behave a certain way or react a certain way or lie about certain things, but this got to the heart of how he truly feels. And it was so beautiful.
This is so good.
The daughter.
Oh, God. The when she was like, I missed you. I love you most in the whole world. I was like,
you are my present. You know?
Right. Like, yeah, so good.
Now, like, I still remember how the Korean saying goes, and then apanan chael chua. And I'm like,
chael chua.
Yeah. So Marisa, who is your favorite character? Did you mention? Oh yeah, you did. Did you?
It's yeah. The Sunbae detective.
Yeah.
And then, the real.
He's in Vincenzo, right? I am watching Vincenzo.
Oh.
Just finished 5 episodes. I kind of like it. I first many might not, and there is a huge people who love the hype, but they're who kind of loves the reality might find it so, like, so cliche, too much of hype and all that, but still, you know, like, you enjoy, and there's Taekyeon being that villain. And
yeah, I think Vincenzo was split. A lot of people really loved it, and a lot of people were not, but the people who loved it,
loved it.
You get a lot of show. You get a lot.
Yeah, if you love it, you got a lot of content to enjoy.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But he was kind of rude. Like, dude, I don't want you to be that deadly. No, like, you can be a bad person, but still,
he's a mafia assassin. I don't know. He's not. You're not. That's who he is.
I meant Taekyeon.
He's wackadoo. You got a journey on that one. Yeah. There is no soft fuzzy. There's no redemption arc on that one.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Yeah. Talking about favorite characters, of course, we did speak about a lot of scenes, but are there any iconic scenes that you loved? Of course, the entire drama is special. I know. But still, if you could pick any highlighted scenes like this one, the acting and the...
I mean, there's just so many that are so good. But I think the scene for me that I thought was the one where it really... I will go back to the kitchen scene because it wasn't... I mean, I think the scenes that everyone will, a lot of scenes that people really resonate with are a lot of crying. And I feel like there's a lot of crying in K-drama, as we always talk about, right? And so the weeping and the you know, all that, like, I'm used to that. But the scene in the kitchen where she was just, like, finally basically, like, done. And he was completely confused. Like, I thought that, to me, was probably, for me, one of the stronger scenes. And the one at the end when he is in the, when he discovers, not discovers, but that he gets, he basically goes to buy his own workshop. Yes. And, and yeah, I thought that one was also,
that was
really
a good,
good
one. Yeah. Good. When he explains the, the meaning of the name of his workshop, and it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
I can't think of, I can't think of one because, I rewatched episode 8, which is, you know, always the turning point, and I could not believe the number of revelations and pivot points were in that episode. Yeah. Like, I couldn't pick one, like, but as an episode, it was phenomenal. It, right? Like, and as a K-drama lover, to go from here to here to here, and you know, it was just,
God, yeah.
It was amazing.
And I mean, kind of in that episode 8, when he had that first panic attack, and he was like, when she showed up at the door and he was like, you're just like, boy is falling apart.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Exactly.
And he doesn't even know why. He doesn't even know what's happening.
And that's when Anthea jumps and says, don't torture this boy.
Right. What was yours? What about you, Anthea?
Mine would definitely be, there's still a lot of ones, but the time when Lee Jun-gi finds out that she already knew that he was the one. Like, he comes in the car and then like stops in the road. I still remember me and my sister and I crying, looking at him cry. Like, you knew for all these days, you know, like he kind of touches his chest and kind of cries so heavily. And she's like, it's okay, it's okay. And gives a hug and
right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. This show was a roller coaster.
It really was. Yeah. It's just so, it's almost perfect. It's almost perfect.
And I really loved all their flashbacks together, them being the lovey-dovey. And I really loved when she was pregnant. I mean, you know, like he cooked all this food and, you know, like, he's just touching her stomach and saying that, I can't believe that there's life inside you.
Right?
And all that. And like, oh, and like, give me a hug, please.
I love how she's like, talk to the baby. He's like, I painted your room yellow. I hope you like it.
Oh, that's so sweet. And when the baby is born, he's like, I'm scared if she will like me. And like, oh, everybody will like you.
Right? Yeah. The show's and amazing.
The cloud, you know, like the cloud looks like egg tart. And he says, like, it looks like his wife.
Right?
And literally after the scene ends, I remember it so well. Like, Moonsha enters into the victim's hotel and she kind of gets the bag of Lee Jun-gi. Like, he's here looking at the sky, thinking about his wife in a very lovey-dovey way. And she's here, you know, like trying to dissect everything from his past, trying to collect the evidences to make sure that he pays for it. Like,
right. Oh yeah, it's just so good. It was just so good. Yeah. Thank you, Flower of Evil, for being like a drama.
So this is kind of gonna be a creative question. And I know, like, being drama lovers, we would always love to do this. So if you could pick 5 characters from the drama and, you know, like cast members, and you would like to see them in another drama, you can name the genre if you want to. And you can pick 5 characters from the drama. Oh, this is going to be nice. It's like giving you activities in a classroom.
So the characters in another drama?
The cast, yeah.
Or the actors.
Actors.
Actors in another drama together.
Mm. Together?
Oh,
and okay. What drama would it be?
What kind of drama would it be? Let's see. Well, I think Choi Dae-hoon, who played the captain.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I gotta go with Choi Dae-hoon for sure.
Because sure. we've seen him in 2020, we saw him play so many different kinds of characters and almost always a side character, except Beyond Evil, where he was more of a main character. Yeah. But he's always interesting to watch.
Yeah, I love him. I would actually like to see him, Lee Joon-gi, and Moon Chae-won in another one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Go for it. Yeah. And both are from different, from the same entertainment, so.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, yeah? Same agency? Yeah. Who else in that show?
I would like to see, I mean, not really, I don't know what genre, because I mean, it all depends. Like it just, like I enjoy a good comedy, but I feel like I've seen Lee Joon-gi do the comedy. I'd like to maybe, yeah, I would like to see, I have to go with Maurice on that. I think the only big thing that I would want to see would be Choi Dae-hoon in something where he's like one of the main, one of the main actors in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would like.
He was so much fun in Crash Landing on You, just being the buffoon of a brother, right? Brother,
yeah.
And then he took a hard turn in Beyond Evil, where he was Park Jin Jae, where he was just Park Jin Jae.
And oh my god, I should watch Beyond Evil. I think I remember telling Marisa that I love one of the actors, like the young one, like. The poster. I don't know his name.
Yo Jin-gu.
Yeah.
Like he comes in the My Absolute Boyfriend hero.
Mm. Oh yeah. Yeah, with Bang Mina. But Hotel Del Luna. I mean, he's so good.
He's so good. But gosh. Exactly. Yeah. So I would have to. I think that'd be my big wish list right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if. I know this is hard, but if Flower of Evil has a remake.
Oh, God, no.
No.
Stop
there.
Stop there. Hard pass.
Hard pass. If Flower of Evil has season 2.
Okay. I don't think it needs one, but yeah. I mean, there's no story.
There's no story.
No.
Maybe Criminal Minds season 2.
Maybe. I don't know. We were talking, Jen and I were talking about this, that they should stop doing remakes of American dramas in Korea. They do their own way of storytelling so well that I don't think they need to take American properties.
I found the Criminal Minds to be a really interesting property to take because it's such a procedural property. Like there's no, to condense it into a 16 episode story was, I think that's where their challenge really came in. Like it was just like, what is this? Yeah.
So Criminal Minds was from an American series?
Mm-hmm.
Was it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
It was like, it ran for like 10 seasons or something, like ridiculously long. Like, I think it's still running. There's like Criminal Minds is there like Criminal Minds like New Orleans and Chicago
So they might have.
Yeah.
So they might have the same characters. Omaha. Like, so it's. Lee Joon-gi and Moon Cha getting together in the American series?
No.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I believe that the reason everyone was so excited about Flower of Evil is because there was kind of a hinted tension between the two of them in Criminal Minds, and so that's why everyone was really excited about.
But that's not real in the American series. You don't have that happening.
No,
I didn't watch the American.
Oh series. No, my daughter binged. I don't know how many of them, and it was always just about the crime and solving the crime. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
unless I'm confusing my American procedurals because there's so many of them.
Criminal Minds. You've got Law and Order. You've got NCIS. And they all have various incarnations. Like, you know, there's the Chicago series. It's ridiculous. There's so many.
Oh my God. So many cop shows here.
Right.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Wow. Yeah. Cop shows are kind of interesting as well.
Well, that's what we loved about Flower of Evil is that it isn't. It is and right. it isn't.
Yeah.
Like, it's mm-hmm. not about, I mean, you're taken on this ride to figure out who the serial killer was, how they all know each other, mm-hmm. and who's going to pay. But, you know, it's so much more. It's like you've got a couple of families going on. You've got, and there's a lot to discover there. And that's why it was so juicy and delicious. It was, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that is all I have. To be very honest, I know before this podcast, I told Jennifer, like, I don't know how to talk about a particular drama for a podcast, but it's just a chat. And I think we had.
No, it was great. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much for spending this time early in the morning during the weekend.
Thank you so much for having us. We appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. So finally, would you like to give your social media accounts for our fans to follow? And are there some things that people should be aware of the K3 mm-hmm. upcoming projects?
Yeah, so you can find us at the K3, all spelled out, mm-hmm. T-H-R-E-E. And we're on Twitter. We sometimes do Twitter spaces to chat about episodes and shows. We're also on Instagram. But the best way to find us is on YouTube.
Yes. So join our Sundays. Yeah. Join our Sundays live clubhouses. Those are a lot of fun. That's where we talk all the shows we're watching.
All the shows, yeah. Mm-hmm. I sometimes speak in and say hi, and then I go to bed.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's kind of amazing that we have friends from all over the world who are tuning in. And for some of you, it's late at night, and for others, it's first thing in the morning. But it's really great to connect because, you know, like Jen likes to say, we have a lot of quibbles. We have a lot of thoughts, and it's a safe place for everyone to share them, to have questions answered, and to just gush about the shows that we're watching.
Yeah. So as for Believe in K-pop, you can follow us on Instagram at Believe in K-pop and use the hashtag Believe in K-pop when you're mentioning us on Twitter, and for me at Anthea Isaac on Twitter and Instagram. So please make sure to DM us and, let us know your love for Flower of Evil by tagging us. We would definitely love to continue this saga of expressing and loving and shouting for Flower of Evil. So I'm really thankful that I did this episode for one of my favorite dramas. And it was made possible because of you two. So thank you again.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, so... may this new week bring you all goodness and happiness. So always make sure to stay safe, spread love, and be loved. This is Anthea Isaac. Meet you next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.